What up, world? Welcome to another episode of the Brand Janu Show. As you know, I am Brand Janu, like all podcast platforms everywhere. Brand Janu Show. Social media platforms, Instagram, Threads, Brand Janu. Facebook, The Brand Janu Show, and of course, TikTok, Brand Janu Show, man. Go follow me on all of those social media platforms. I will truly enjoy it. Hopefully 2025, I get some more traction. I don't know. We shall see. Definitely follow me here, though. If you don't want to go follow me there, you just subscribe to my YouTube channel, Brand Janu Show, man. Hopefully you guys enjoy this episode, because tonight, it is wrestling life. Like I said, the end of the year is here. We are finally here, man. December, last month. It's crazy, because December is such a... it's such a weird thing, because you're trying to cram everything that you heard, watched, seen in a list. You gotta go all the way back to January and try to cram everything into like a fucking list. But tonight is that. You know, it was my top 10 wrestling moments and stories of 2024. Bear with me. Okay, this is not gonna be an easy list. It wasn't an easy list. I'm still doing wrestlers. I'm still doing matches that will be coming at the end of hopefully by the end of this week, going into next week. You know, next couple of weeks I'll be doing that list. So yeah, but let's get into it, man. I am doing a top 10 list, like I said, of my favorite moments when it comes to wrestling and stories. So, let's get into it, man. Usually, top 10 list, you start off with 1, then go down to 10. We're going to start with 10 and go up to 1. That's usually how I do my list. I don't know about everybody else, but my list is that way. So, let's get into it. Starting off at number 10 is the rise. Is the rise of the one and only Swerve Strickland. Yep, Mr. AEW himself, man. Swerve, I think, can definitely become the flag bearer of AEW. I know he signed a new deal with AEW. A lot of commotion started up during the time, but Swerve has earned the placing where he's at. Hopefully, in 2025, they don't fuck this up what they're doing right now with him, with Bobby Lashley, Shelton Benjamin, MVP shit. Hopefully this man gets back to this title, man. He deserves it. He didn't even get a rematch. He just went right into a new program with fucking Bobby Lashley. Like, fuck. Swerve is one of the best wrestlers in wrestling. One of the best, man. Won the AEW World Championship this year at Dynasty, AEW Dynasty, in April, beating the Submission Machine himself, one of the greats, and Samoa Joe, winning the belt. The man only had, what he had, what, three title defenses? He defended against Christian Cage. I know he had one on TV. I can't remember. Did he actually defend a belt against Luchasaurus? I don't think he defended a belt against Luchasaurus. I know he defended against Will Ospreay, which I know he defended the belt against Will Ospreay, which is, I'll talk about that soon. I'll talk about that match soon. And of course he lost his belt to Bryan Danielson, and of course he had that crazy ass match against Adam Page in that steel cage, the lights out steel cage match. Oh my god, yeah. I'll talk about that match too soon. But Swerve has become that guy. Like I said, hopefully they don't fuck this man's whole career up right now. Fuck this whole situation up. You had a perfectly idea. You had a perfect plan in place, which was Swerve keeping the belt, going against Adam Page. I will always be one of the detractors to say, man, that was a dumbass decision. I love Bryan Danielson. Yes, I do. But at the same time, you had a storyline that was built right then and there, and you have completely and utterly moved Adam Heyman Page, and Swerve Strickland into two different directions, and fucking belt is just not even being seen on TV. Your main title is not even being seen on TV. We know of it, but we haven't seen it in what, like 2 months? The fuck? What are you, WWE? What are you, Vince McMahon? The fuck going on? Like Swerve should definitely be champion again. He should go up against Adam Page, Adam Hangman Page, and end the fucking rivalry. And then he should drop the belt to MJF. That's how that shit's supposed to go. But instead, it's AEW. Their ass backwards. They don't know shit. And that's the problem. Number nine. Is also one of the most incredible things that's happening right now, and that is women's wrestling, man. Women are killing it right now. I listen, man. NXT women are killing it. Jada Parker last night with that promo. Jada Parker, just in general, just Jada Parker. Oh, anyway, Julia, Stephanie Vaquer, Delta. NXT has the best women's division in wrestling. I don't give a shit what y'all want to say. I don't give a fuck about names. I don't give a fuck about who got the most prestige. I don't give a fuck about none of that shit. NXT women are the best wrestlers in the business right now because they actually have actual true storylines. They actually understand what the fuck they're doing. Lola Vice and Jada Parker fighting this Saturday at NXT Deadline. You have the Women's Iron Survivor Challenge, which should and definitely, I hope, is closing out NXT because let's be real, the women are the best part about the NXT fucking division. NXT's cool, but the women are the main event every fucking time they get on TV. If it's Roxanne Perez, who is the best champion in all of women's wrestling. The only one I will even give you is Athena, who is in Ring of Honor. That's the only one, formerly known as Amber Moon in WWE. That's the only one I would give you. Outside of that, she is one. Athena's 1A and she's like 1B. Roxanne Perez is a beast. You got Jordynne Grace, who is a former TNA Knockouts champion, who's been in NXT, who's fought Roxanne. Cora Jade, you got so many women. Sol Ruka, yo, you like dog, NXT women are crushing it now, like killing it. And then of course you got the AEW situation. AEW has now they don't always know what the fuck they're doing, but they have one of the best storylines going into All In with Mariah May and Toni Storm. That was a hell of a match. They have one of the best women's matches probably of the whole entire year. And Chris Statlander and Willie Nightingale. That fucking match was fucking crazy at All Out. If you didn't watch that match at All Out with them two, whoo, you missed something. That match was fucking good. Holy shit, that shit was good. Just this past Saturday, not this past Saturday, the 2 Saturdays ago, at Full Gear, which Mercedes Moné and Chris Statlander. Mercedes Moné breaking the bank with literally breaking the bank. signing to AEW, one of the highest paid women in professional wrestling. I'm pretty sure Becky's gonna probably top her whenever the fucking contract comes out that she just signed probably with WWE. I'm pretty sure she probably broke that fucking bank. Women wrestling is killing it. Of course, do I have to mention the fact that WWE has introduced now 3 mid-card titles in the span of a couple of months? You gotta realize they introduced the women's North American title like in June. They introduced it like what, like May, June? The women's main card title for NXT hasn't even been alive for that long. It's only been alive since June, and now they have just introduced the women's U.S. Championship and now the women's Intercontinental Championship. Which, by the way, the women's Intercontinental Championship is 5 years, motherfucker. But now they're actually giving them the chance. And of course, you have the women's tag team titles is already there. And of course, the storyline of Liv and Rhea, which I hope they end very, very soon. but I can't wait to see what it's going to look like when Rhea's champion and when Tiffany Stratton is champion. And then they go into WrestleMania, and the WrestleMania matches is probably Io Sky and Rhea Ripley and Tiffany Stratton and Charlotte Flair. And then you have possibly Bianca and Jade. Or they may even swerve us with that shit. Maybe it'd be Bianca and Rhea. I mean, they could swerve us. I wouldn't be surprised. Becky and Lara Van Carrier for the Intercontinental Championship. Like I said at the end of the Survivor Series show. Maybe it's Chelsea Green and Piper Niven. Maybe it's Bayley and Naomi. Who fucking knows? I mean, this is the thing. So women's wrestling the last this whole year has been fucking phenomenal. And you gotta give it it's props, man. Speaking of one of those women, Mercedes Moné is coming in at number 8. Her debuting in at AEW, pretty much having the entire show centered around her is massive. Now, of course, what has happened since then is kind of ass backwards. It's not good. I mean, let's be real. I love Mercedes Moné. I love the when she was Sasha Banks in WWE. I mean, I loved it when she was in NXT. Like, do I think she's gotten a little bit too big for her britches sometimes, and maybe thinks she's bigger than what she really is when it comes to professional wrestling? Kinda. I don't understand the storyline that they're trying to tell. Yeah, I do. I'm lying to myself. I do know what the storyline they're trying to tell. They're pretty much trying to tell Camille's gonna come back and go after Mercedes after she healed her shoulder or whatever she's injured. And she's gonna go after Mercedes Moné. Here's the problem with that. You already did that storyline with Mariah May and Toni Storm. And now you're gonna turn it around and try to do it with Mercedes Moné and Camille. You can't strike lightning in a bottle twice. That shit just don't happen. It's like AEW gets sloppy with storytelling. So they just like, what happened last year? What worked for us last time? Okay, let's just do that again. That shit don't work twice, bro. This is the thing. I think Mercedes' debut was awesome, but what has happened since is fucking terrible. She's only had really one good outstanding match in AEW. I remember watching her at Willie Nightingale for the TBS title when she first debuted. That was awesome. But since then, they have struggled with trying to. Now, I don't know if she has creative control or fucking not, but I will say this. Whoever the fuck put together that match for her and Chris Statlander at Full Gear, keep doing that. Keep doing that. That shit worked. What I also would do is also this. You have a Ring of Honor champion in Athena just sitting there. It's not like you never bought Ring of Honor titles up to AEW and wrestled them. I remember particularly Samoa Joe winning the Pure Championship from Ring of Honor. I've seen Chris Jericho hold a Ring of Honor title. But let's be 100. Let's keep it honest. Let's really have the truth here. I think that they should have Athena come up and beat Mercedes. And then you can do whatever the hell you want to do with Mercedes after that. I don't really care what you do after that, but I think Athena versus Mercedes would be actually a real storyline. That's one. She would actually have a real threat, finally. And three, it would actually make fucking sense. The debut of Mercedes was awesome. But since then, it's failed. And yeah, it's just not good. It's just not fucking good, man. Speaking of returns, coming in at number 7 is one of my favorite wrestlers. And that is MJF. And I'm not talking about the return that he just recently had at Full Gear or the return that he had at All or Nothing. Legendary. Legendary. He's another one that's in a really stupid ass storyline that doesn't make any fucking sense. The man spiked Adam Cole on his fucking head when he came back at All In. At All or Nothing. Or Double or Nothing. When he came back at Double or Nothing and he spiked Adam Cole on the fucking head when he came back, I thought the storyline was fucking over. What are we doing? He got his revenge. He pretty much ended it. The man, though, since he's been back, has had classic matches with Will Ospreay, who may or may not be one of my favorite wrestlers as well. But MJF returning to AEW, every time he comes back, you can tell that's their guy. I love Swerve. I love Will Ospreay. But he's an AEW original. And he's the guy that should be pushed to the fucking moon. He should get the belt back, and he should just fucking be the guy. He should be treated like WWE treats Roman Reigns. You should treat him like that. He should go on a long ass winning streak, and then only a few get to pin him. Only a few. That's how it should be when you have a franchise caliber star making human being like that. That man doesn't need shit. And AEW sucks at stories, but he can tell a story just because he's MJF. That fucking dude is fucking good. Anybody that tells you that he's not, you're fucking delusional. You're fucking delusional, dude. But he should be the face of AEW. This is the dumbest shit on the planet. He can sell a story. He can get in the ring and cut a fucking promo like nobody's ever cut a promo. He's one of those dudes. Listen, I'm happy he re-signed with AEW. But next contract, you can easily see. I don't know if AEW, I'll talk about that later, but the man is one of the best wrestlers in the world. And I'm a huge MJF fan. But yeah, man, I wish, man, that man, I wish they wouldn't do the dumbass storylines they got with him, man. It's just stupid. I did not like the fact that the Adam Cole came back and it was against him. Like, what the fuck are we doing? What are we doing? Oh, that shit was so stupid. All right. Number six. Shit was so fucking dumb. Number six. The day the Judgment Day died at SummerSlam. We all saw this coming. We all saw this coming. We all saw it coming. Rhea being out for so long played into the storyline pretty well. It played perfectly into the storyline, actually, because it gave Liv months to actually seduce Dom and pretty much try to get the Judgment Day on her side, which was pretty fucking smart. The problem with this is that the Judgment Day since then has kind of been on a slow, methodical deathbed. Now, if this is the case that Finn Balor is now possibly about to turn on the Judgment Day, leave the Judgment Day because he feels like he should be the leader, which is kind of the reason why he kind of got out of the Judgment Day in the first place. See, here's the thing about the Judgment Day. Damian Priest and Rhea Ripley were the first two original members of the Judgment Day. Finn was the third. Finn should technically be the leader. He is the leader. He's the third member of the Judgment Day. After they got rid of Edge, he's the third leader, the third member. He's the third technically original member of the Judgment Day. Who was for it? Dominic Mysterio. Those are the two should be fighting for the power, which it kind of seems like that's what the direction they're going in. But the situation at hand is that I don't care about the story. I don't care. I think if Rhea wasn't in it and Priest still wasn't in it, like if it was just a done deal and you just had them two going at each other trying to get the leadership, cool. But that's not what you're selling it as. You're selling it as that Liv has also got some input. What the fuck Liv got input on and so far? Fuck, she's just a champ, and I get it, but this whole situation, I'm gonna tell you, Judgment Day died when they finally did turn on Liv and Damian Priest because nobody's interested in the storyline of the Judgment Day outside of people on social media. Now, again, people on social media, some of you motherfuckers be just saying shit and don't know what the fuck you be saying. The Judgment Day, as they killed this story, they single-handedly killed the Judgment Day. Because let's be real, Damian Priest and Rhea was the key factors. And now, what is it? What is the Judgment Day? It's a fucking comedy. It's a fucking comedy act. Like, you're trying to make fans serious and respect, and you're trying to keep Liv strong, and that's awesome. And Dominic Mysterio is starting to get face pops. Like, what is going on with that? I don't know what's going on with that. But I've been said this. If I was them, I would break the Judgment Day up. I would let Dom go wherever he wants to go. I would let Dom go do what he wants to do. I will put JD, keep Finn and JD together. I'll let Liv and Raquel win the tag team titles, but take the belt off of Liv and put it on Rhea. And end the stories and just let them go do their own thing. I don't think you need a faction like the Judgment Day. I think the Judgment Day is kind of dead in the water. And you could just leave it as that. But yeah, that when they ended it at SummerSlam, the way they ended all of this at SummerSlam, this shit just it's taking too long. It's taking too long. Just end it. God Almighty, please end it. Now, if I go in my top five, here we go. So, recap it. At number 10, it was Swerve Strickland becoming AEW champion. Need to get back to the top, like ASAP. Number 9, the rise of women wrestling. Yeah. Number 8, Mercedes Moné debuting in AEW. And then after that, just complete off the cliff. Number 7, MJF returning to AEW. Another one that needs to be fighting for the fucking title at some point in 2025 to keep your company from fucking sinking. And number 6, the death of the Judgment Day. Please make this fast, quickly, immediately, like Monday. Come in number 5. Now, number 5. That was number 6, number 5. You see, I love justified heel turns. Because as a wrestling fan, it's fucked up you turning heel, but at the same time, it's kind of understandable. You know where I'm going with this. And that is the justified heel turn of one Kevin Owens. Kevin Owens turning heel. It's justifiable. He has a reason. He's got a really good fucking reason. I can't hate on him for that. Real wrestling fans know Kevin Owens is actually the face in his story between him and Cody Rhodes. Kevin Owens is 100% right in everything he said. Motherfucker, I've been fighting the bloodline since the pandemic, nigga. The fuck are you doing? And you just come back. I help you get your belt. I help you finish your story. I think we're in this together. And then you turn around and team up with the motherfucker that pretty much threw me off a fucking off of threw me off of the highest thing he could find. Threw me off that shit with his cousin. Ran me over with a golf cart. With a fucking golf cart. Literally beat my ass every chance they got. This man single-handedly tried to end my career, took my best friend and turned him against me. And then you turn around and you team with this motherfucker? Nigga, what? I have said this. This is the beauty of wrestling. This is it. Listen, man, storytelling is amazing. There's two scenarios that have actually turned people. Yes, I totally agree with people. Drew McIntyre, Karrion Kross is one of those people that people do not talk about enough. Karrion Kross has also caused a lot of fucking problems for a lot of people. But I will sit there and tell you straight up that the Bloodline saga might be the greatest butterfly effect we've ever seen. Because every single motherfucker is fucking pissed at these motherfuckers. And it's not Jay, and it's not Jimmy, and it's not Sammy. It's particularly just Roman. Everybody is just mad at Roman. And we don't fuck about the old souls of Sammy. If you actually pay attention, the motherfuckers don't give a fuck about them. It's Roman. You have sat there and literally let this motherfucker literally become one of the most dominant wrestlers, and every time he's touched something, he's ruined it. Seth Rollins' crash out is justifiable. Kevin Owens' crash out is justifiable. Drew McIntyre is still crashing the fuck out over this motherfucker. Like, yo, this shit is so justifiable. Kevin Owens' crash out is just a fucking fiable. You cannot get mad at the shit. You're like, no, his heel turn makes fucking total sense. This is the first time it actually makes sense why he's turning heel. Because it's right. He's fucking right. Why would you team with a man that you literally have been fighting for 2 years? You've been fighting him for 2 years. Bitch, I've been fighting him for four. The fuck? Yeah, I'd have a problem with you teaming with this nigga. What the fuck is. Why would I not? Why would I not? This crash out is so justifiable. Him power driving Randy Orton was fucked up. You shouldn't have done that. What's wrong with you? That was so fucked up. Listen, if they would have done this match way earlier, I would have been like, yes, man. Kevin Owens probably should have beat Cody Rhodes. The fact that they're waiting this fucking long to do it, Cody's gonna clearly keep the belt. Randy Orton's gonna come back and he's gonna probably beat the living hell out of Kevin Owens. And then you're gonna just have that match at the Royal Rumble. Cool. Whatever. Maybe the first SmackDown on January. A lot of people don't talk about that. It's also the first SmackDown on Jan in January. What are we gonna do with that? You can't just have just a massive ass Raw show and then Saturday and then the next and then Friday night on January, what, January 13th, if I'm doing it right, January 13th. Yeah, no. Lord Jesus. January 10th, I think. Yeah, January 10th. You gotta have a payoff at some point. Or you could wait to the Royal Rumble. I don't think you would. I don't think Randy Orton and Kevin Owens would fucking wait to the Royal Rumble. That's a long way out. But Kevin Owens' heel turn is fucking justifiable. I cannot wait. I will have a front row seat. I'll be sitting there watching this shit with some popcorn because when he finally gets his fucking hands on Sami Zayn, ooh, that shit gonna be crazy. Oh my God, that shit gonna be. Cut the lights off. It's cut the lights. This shit don't get interesting, man. Cut the goddamn lights. But yeah, man, Kevin Owens turning heel has he has a reason. He has a full fucking reason for why he did it. Number four. No, it's real because I took a sigh and a breath with this. Just AEW. I have spoken on Swerve, I've spoken on MJF, Mercedes. AEW fuck, struggling is being nice. Struggling is being nice to them. We can, and again, like I've always said, people try to pinpoint when the fuck AEW fucked up. AEW fucked up the moment Cody Rhodes walked out the door. That was the first time they fucked up. The second time they fucked up is when CM Punk got fired because Tony Khan feared for his life. The third time is you showing the footage of why CM Punk got fired. Three strikes and you're fucking out. And they have never recovered. People sit there and say, oh, it's when Cody left. No, it's when CM Punk left. It's all of those things. It's Cody leaving. It's CM Punk getting fired. It's CM Punk going back to WWE. It's the fact that, you showing the footage of CM Punk and Jack Perry and fans being like, that's why the fuck he got fired? The fuck? That's stupid. Tony Khan was saying, I feared for my life. Get the fuck out of here. Seriously? And now you cannot make it up. You keep trying to sit there and give us great matches. That's awesome, but this is why I've always said about AEW since the moment it started. The WCW, the TNA. At some point, you gotta have a story, man. You gotta have storylines. They have none of that. You can watch Monday Night Raw this past weekend, this past Monday. Watch Monday Night Raw. Nobody gave a fuck about the wrestling. Not one person gave a fuck about the wrestling. And you have people literally telling you that might have been the greatest Monday Night Raw we've ever seen. I have seen more incredible Monday Night Raws in the last 11 months, 12 months. You got to realize The Rock and Cody Rhodes won when The Rock came and made Cody Rhodes bleed. that fucking Monday Night Raw is revered. That happened this year. People forget that. That happened this year. That happened in January. Like, yo, this shit happened. No. That didn't happen in January. That shit happened in, like, March. Yo, when he made Cody Rhodes bleed, that shit happened in March. You have that Monday Night Raw. You have the night where Jey Uso finally won the Intercontinental Championship, and everybody was like, what the fuck he fucking won? What the fuck is this? Yo, you, bro, we've had more Monday Night Raws than we can remember. SmackDown is starting to pick it the fuck up with the storylines because of the bloodline and everything. This is, man, listen, man. NXT, I watched NXT, and last night was fucking good. But you, if you're AEW, you can't keep selling this bullshit that you're just where the best wrestle. Because, and this is the one thing, the one knock I do say about Mercedes Moné. You get on your podcast every week and talk about this is where the best wrestle, this is where the best wrestle. If that is the case, why the fuck you can't get a storyline to save your life right now? If the best wrestles in AEW, why is Athena in Ring of Honor and not on AEW television? That's the best. She's the best. She's the longest reigning champion right now in women's wrestling. What the fuck going on? Are you not giving it to her? AEW has this cult-like following, which is this generation we live in, because a lot of these fans aren't really fans; they're cults, and they just clench and they lynch and they leech on them just something different, and they think because different means good. No, nigga, different is just different. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just fucking different. But in your mind, it's so different. It's never before seen. It's get the fuck out of here. AEW has a really great roster. They cannot figure it the fuck out. And now, listen, I'm not going to blame Tony Khan for continuously signing people. If I could sign, you know, Bobby Lashley and Shelton Benjamin and MVP and Edge, Adam Copeland, and, you know, if I could continuously sign these people, I'm going to probably sign them. But you better have a goddamn understanding of what the fuck you're doing with them once you sign them. Because if you do not, you can't just continuously give them titles and say, okay, then just go work it out and figure it out. Some of these people that are being signed also need vision. Adam Cole was great in WWE. You know why he was great in WWE? Because he had vision. He understood what it was. The Undisputed Era was an incredible, amazing fucking group. They were an amazing faction. That whole storyline for a year and a half leading up to Roderick Strong finally joining them was fucking phenomenal. Him joining them at NXT TakeOver in New Orleans, still one of the greatest pops you've ever fucking seen. Him turning on Pete Dunne, hitting him with that move, oh, my God. And Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly just sitting out there like, what the fuck just happened? One of those moments, man. Like, Undisputed Era was the shit in NXT. He had vision. Keith Lee. I hope this man at some point gets healthy and gets clear and he comes back and wrestle. That's a talent that is just sitting. But again, it's his health. I can't knock it. It's his health. But the man had vision under Triple H in NXT. Ricochet could sit there and cry and bitch and moan and complain all he fucking wants to talk about this. I want to go to AEW so to show my skills. Your skill is the same in AEW than it was in WWE, motherfucker. The only difference is you have nothing to really actually sink your teeth in. They were actually trying to make you a star. They were trying to give you something. And instead, you took it as, oh, they're just making me do flips and all this other shit. And people are pushing past me. If that's the case, tell them to go send you back to NXT and win the NXT championship, something you didn't win when you were there. You and Wesley one-on-one would have been a hell of a match. But you want to go to AEW. Okay. This is the thing about AEW, man. You can sit there and say Tony Khan is the problem. You can sit there and say all of these things. But what you can say storylines, booking, all of this shit. But at the end of the day, AEW's problem is this. They never actually thought WWE would get better. They never thought about it. Vince McMahon getting fired is really the ending of AEW. That's what the fuck happened. Once Vince McMahon sold the company, all of this shit started happening with Vince, the lawsuit, everything started coming out about Vince, and he could not get creative control anymore, and they fired his ass. That shit killed AEW. It's not CM Punk, it's not Cody Rhodes, it's not just airing the CM Punk footage. No, it's Vince getting fired. That's what killed AEW, because Triple H is not Vince. He leans into the stories. He leans into the culture. He leans into the history of WWE. And that is something that you're seeing every fucking week on TV. It's if it's Shawn Michaels in NXT or if it's Triple H on Raw and SmackDown, he has the best shows because of the stories he's telling. And yeah, the ring wrestling is awesome. And whoopty freaking do. But the fact that the man can tell a story is killing him. What killed AEW is Vince. That's what killed AEW. Vince McMahon. He absolutely gutted AEW. Why? Because at least with AEW, when Vince was running, you know everybody had to eventually turn on WWE. I mean, turn on AEW. Because they couldn't get what they wanted from WWE. That's gone. That's gone. Triple H is there. Triple H is telling stories. Triple H is giving you feuds. It isn't just the Bloodline storyline anymore. You got Seth Rollins and his crash out, and Kevin Owens, and all this is tied to the Bloodline and all of these things. And now you got Cody Rhodes, and it's different. It's different. What's the favor? What's the favor? CM Punk's owed a favor. What's the favor? That's the difference. AEW continuously just thinks they're just gonna win with wrestling. But they haven't figured it out that the psychology of wrestling isn't always about just the fucking wrestling. You have to actually have characters. You have to have people to actually give a fuck. That's why I say Swerve Strickland, he's a character. We give a fuck. Will Ospreay, he's a character. I give a fuck about. Toni Storm, she's a character. I give a fuck about. Mercedes Moné, back in the day, yeah, I gave a fuck about it. Now, also, you're giving microphones to people that can't talk, which is kind of stupid. Don't do that. It also kills it. But MJF, that's a guy I care about. Adam Hangman Page, that's a guy I care about. That's the thing. What killed AEW is Vince McMahon. That's what killed AEW. Vince McMahon. I know you sound, again, like I said, I'm gonna have to redefine it. I'm gonna have to say this again. Vince getting fired killed AEW. It single-handedly deadshotted it. Because now the competition wasn't so easy. Now you have Triple H. And he's telling stories. Yo, the New Day situation, we ain't gave a fuck about the New Day in a minute. They turn on Big E every day on Twitter. What the fuck just happened? Like, yo, like, ew, my God. Bruh. Another thing about AEW is also fucking up. They don't know how to promote it. I'm starting to realize that. They don't have any wrestlers that promote their shit. You got some. But most of the wrestlers don't promote it. Every damn day, you see WWE, I don't give a fuck if they're NXT, SmackDown, or Raw. Everybody is promoting each other. They're promoting the brand. They're showing love to the brand. That is not what's happening in AEW. It's not. What killed AEW, what really dead shot at AEW, was the removal of Vince McMahon. Because then the competition actually got real. And they couldn't handle it. They still can't handle it. They can't figure it out. They can't figure out how to make an actual TV show. This is what I've also said about AEW. If I was AEW, I would get rid of doing weekly TV because you're not good at it. I would do a monthly show on TV to build to the pay-per-view. And then after that, I would do the pay-per-view. Some TV, some do one big ass pay-per-view every fucking month on TV. That's what I would do. I would do Full Gear on TV. I would do I would, listen, because that's the only thing you're good at. And maybe do some wrestling content online and maybe do it, figure it out that way. But this is bad. This is bad, man. Listen, AEW signed a 5-year deal at some midway through this year. I'm gonna be honest. 2.5 years. If they don't figure this shit out, and here's the thing, I don't think it's gonna get figured out. If they can't turn it around in 1.5 years, AEW's gonna get cut. And I don't mean cut off TV just yet, but those 2 hours is gonna turn into 1.5 hours. And then they're gonna be like, you know what? We can do something better with this shit. We weren't really that pressed for fucking Big Bang Theory has been killing it on TBS for weeks, for years, and on Wednesdays. We're good. We can move this shit along. And for AEW people, fans, and all that shit, probably saying, well, all these wrestlers gonna go easily. They can still go back to New Japan. They can do all these things. But you think that New Japan is not watching WWE, realizing like, fuck, we got in the wrong bed with the wrong people. Imagine Will Ospreay versus Gunther in a match. MJF versus Roman Reigns in a match. Kenny Omega and Seth Rollins in a match. And number three. Thank you, AEW, for this fucking feud, because if it wasn't for you, we would never had this feud. CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Oh, hell yeah. This feud, what did the kids say? This fed generations. It fed families for years to come. This feud was amazing. And it all culminated, of course, at Bad Blood and the Hell in a Cell match. I will die on this hill to the day I go. This should have been the main event. Fuck The Rock. I'm sorry. Listen, respect to the nigga as a wrestler. Fuck The Rock. We could have had that shit at the beginning of the pay-per-view, like I've been said. The Rock could have came out at the beginning of the pay-per-view. He could have did that little dumbass 1-2-3 shit and got his ass back in the back. And the rest of the night could have been just speculating. What the fuck was that? You could have just left it as that. Nobody still knows what the fuck is going on. This nigga just walked on the stage 1-2-3 and then walked back and like, what are we doing? You could have did that shit at the beginning of the fucking night, and we could have just left the storyline be that for the whole night. This should have ended the damn pay-per-view. The whole pay-per-view was built around this, and yet we didn't get it. Why? Because of fucking Rock. Fuck out of here. This feud was fucking phenomenal. From the moment this man tore his bicep in the Royal Rumble, and this man Drew McIntyre. Yo, this promo is still one of the greatest promos of all time to me, man. This man, Drew McIntyre, said, I'm not a religious man. I don't pray or nothing, but I need you to know. I prayed for this and it happened. Oh, that shit was like, God damn, man. What the fuck is up with you? Yo, that nigga said, man, I prayed for this and it happened. Like, I came into the Royal Rumble. I maliciously went after you. I was like, you can't win. And then you threw me out the ring, and I was so mad. I was so mad. And then I got the news yesterday. I couldn't believe it. It was a godsend. That was so fucked up. Yes, I prayed for it, and it happened. Oh, that shit was so fucking wrong, bro. CM Punk damn near on the edge of tears because he can't go to WrestleMania. This man, Drew McIntyre, to his face, told this man, I prayed for this shit and it happened. Yo, that shit was so wrong, bro. Oh, that shit was fucking hilarious. Yo, that shit was fucking wrong, bro. I prayed for it and it happened. Oh my God. That was top tier. Oh my God. Yo, that shit. People forget it actually happened at the beginning of the year. This man literally looked him in his face and told this man to his face, I pray for you to get hurt, and it happened. God almighty, that shit was so wrong on so many levels. Funny as a motherfucker. CM Punk then goes to WrestleMania, and costs Drew the World Heavyweight Championship. He wins the belt. He beats Seth. Wins the belt. Literally goes to on the table, the announce table, fucking with CM Punk, putting the belt in his face, telling him I'm living your dream. Ha. And CM Punk hits this stuff like off the table and proceeds to beat the living shit out of this man. Damian Priest comes out. This shit is fucking crazy. This man pins him, takes the belt away from him. Drew McIntyre, this is how fucking funny this is. Drew McIntyre takes a picture of him at WrestleMania beating Seth Rollins up. It tweets the picture. It says, "Bored at work." "Bored at work, LOL." Posts the picture on his wife's Twitter. Yo, this shit is the funniest shit on the planet. Gets in the ring, beats Seth, proceeds to troll CM Punk, loses, gets his ass whipped by CM Punk, loses the belt, goes into Clash at the Castle, goes to Clash at the Castle, gets his rematch against Damian Priest after getting cleared, goes to Clash at the Castle again at home. It's his home turf. Goes into Clash at the Castle. Him and Damian Priest have one hell of a match. And then CM Punk proceeds to fuck him again. Proceeds to fuck him again. Runs down the ring. One, two. Drew gets up. He looks. He proceeds to grab CM Punk. CM Punk kicks him. Low blows him. Damian Priest ends up winning the match. Gets out that match. And then Drew McIntyre pops up on CM Punk in Chicago, Illinois, and proceeds to beat the shit out of CM Punk. Beats the shit out of CM Punk so much, he's banging his head against the fucking door. And what the fuck is that? What's going on? Raise the door up. DIY and Grayson Waller arguing. They raise the door up. CM Punk is just standing over CM. Drew McIntyre just Drew McIntyre just standing over CM Punk like, talk that shit. Picked him up, brought him into the arena, dumped him on the stage. Man is bleeding from the mouth. Oh my God, this shit was amazing. Go to Money in the Bank, wins Money in the Bank. People got so upset. They're like, what the fuck was the point? The story was the point, you dumb son of a bitch. CM Punk costs his Drew, wins the Money in the Bank briefcase. Then goes, proceeds to try to win the title from Seth Rollins and Damian Priest in their match. CM Punk then comes out and screws Drew McIntyre again. Oh, this shit was so good. This is all before they actually even had fucking a match. A match. They go into SummerSlam, have their first match. Drew wins thanks to Seth Rollins as a referee. They have another match at Bash in Berlin. The SummerSlam match was okay. The Bash in Berlin match was really good. And then the damn Hell in a Cell match at Bad Blood was fucking amazing. You gotta also remember, this man Drew McIntyre beat the shit out of CM Punk at the Bash of Berlin. Beat the living hell out of this man. Broke the man bracelet that he was fighting to get so valiantly throughout the summer. Got it back. Finally got it back at Bash of Berlin. Broke the man bracelet. Put the goddamn beads in his man mouth and then proceeded to Claymore kick the shit out of this man. Yeah, Bad Blood was the shit. Yo, we ain't never seen that much blood in a WWE match in years. That shit was so good, man. Yeah. This shit was awesome. This fucking feud was fucking phenomenal. I don't give a shit what nobody say. That feud was fucking top tier. Number one. Oh, number two. Sorry. Number two. Because I was thinking of this. Number two is the Bloodline Saga. Listen, on any other list, this probably would be number one. On my list is two. The reason why I put it two is because of how it started. The Rock comes back, tries to steal Cody Rhodes' WrestleMania moment. Excuse me. I did not like that shit. I will never like that shit. I thought it was fucking stupid. Rock, your ass was not needed for this moment. But they turned it around. Thank God they turned it around. Fans were not about to let that shit happen. They were not about to let that shit ride. Thank the Lord the fans are smarter than fucking The Rock when it comes to wrestling storylines, because that shit was just plain old fucking stupid. He thought he could just come back and just take the damn spot because he's the fucking Rock. And it didn't go down that way. Thank the Lord the fans are smarter than The Rock. But then proceeded to be The Rock becoming a heel again. And that was legendary. Him bringing back the Hollywood Rock theme, by the way, still one of the greatest theme songs in wrestling history. Yeah, I said that shit. One of the greatest theme songs in wrestling history. The Rock, Hollywood Rock theme song. Fucking chef kiss. The fucking shit is amazing. Fucking legendary shit. And by the way, this shit still is continuing to this day. The Rock comes back. Teams with Roman Reigns instead of fighting him, he teams with him. Night one, if you win, Cody, the Bloodline is banned from ringside. You will never see us. If you lose, it's Bloodline's rules, and you ain't winning this belt, and it'll be the last time you ever get a chance to even fight for the belt. Cool. Night one happens. It's The Rock and Roman teaming up against Cody and Seth. Fucking phenomenal. I thought for 45 minutes, The Rock cannot go 45 minutes in an actual wrestling match. But this was exactly what we needed. The Rock didn't need to be in this match for all 45 fucking minutes. He did exactly what he needed to do. But it sold the story. The next night, Bloodlines rules because The Rock and Roman beat Cody and Seth. Rock pins Cody Rhodes. The next night, Bloodline rules and Cody. I'll talk about that in a minute. But Cody wins, clearly. But then the story gets interesting. Gets boring for a minute, but got interesting. Because the next Friday night on SmackDown, Solo gets real. And Paul Heyman, see, this is the funny part. Paul Heyman is the one that actually started the new bloodline that we have now. Because Paul Heyman said there are, because I think they were trying to get into the locker room, and instead it was Cody Rhodes' locker room now. And Paul Heyman literally told Solo, well, there is, you know, what he said. There is, I think, fuck, I had it and I forgot it. But he told Solo pretty much, you know, there are consequences to losing. That's what he told him. It's consequences to losing. So Solo stopped Paul Heyman in the middle of the ring and told Paul Heyman, "Didn't you say that was consequences to losing, Paul?" Referring to Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso. Jimmy lost to Jay at WrestleMania. And he looks at Jimmy. And this is the moment where Tama Tonga comes in. And now he comes and he takes over. And now you're dealing with two people. And now this is why the crash out for Kevin Owens is surreal, because he deserves to have this crash out. Him and Randy Orton team up to go against Solo and Tama Tonga at Backlash in France. Okay, cool. Then Tamaloa debuts at Backlash in France. Huh. Okay. Which, by the way, was kind of like a Bloodlines rules match, because they didn't start the match at first, and then they just fucking brawling. And Nick Aldis came out, was like, "Yo, whoa, having this shit. Oh no, restart the match." No disqualification. Restart the match. And then the next pay-per-view, which was what's it, Money in a Bank? No, it was Clash of the Castle, I think. Yeah, Clash of the Castle. Cody beats AJ Styles in the Last Man Standing match. Who pops up on the stage? The new Bloodline. Solo, Tama Tonga, Tangaloa, and they jump Cody. But Randy and Kevin Owens come out. And they help, which leads to Money in the Bank. But before they got to Money in the Bank, a lot of shit went down in the middle of that. Because Chicago, well, I just said Drew McIntyre and CM Punk had that incredible fucking feud moment. Before CM Punk got to the back, he was in the ring with the wise man, Paul Heyman. Which leads to what just happened this past Sunday. this past Saturday at Survivor Series. But this was the thing. CM Punk. Paul Heyman comes out and tells him, "Hey man, listen. Before Solo comes out here with the new bloodline, I need you to leave. I need you to leave Chicago, your hometown. I need you to leave." Paul Heyman tells Solo. Paul Heyman tells CM Punk tells Solo, "Listen, I don't. All I see is a fake ass tribal chief and two fake ass Usos." Cody Rhodes then proceeds to come out, help CM Punk, which leads to later on in the night, which was a main event. Now, which becomes the debut of Jacob Fatu. He comes, he debuts, he dominates. The following week on SmackDown, MSG, they beat down the Wise Man. They take out the Wise Man. The next damn time we see the Bloodline, it's Money in the Bank, six man tag, and they beat Solo beats Cody. Solo beats Cody, pins him, 1, 2, 3. Get the title match at SummerSlam. Wasn't a great match. Let's just be real. Too fucking long, I'll tell you that much. It's a Bloodlines rules match, but this is where the story gets fucking interesting. Because Roman Reigns comes back after being gone since WrestleMania, comes back at SummerSlam, spears Solo, helps Cody win. And the next time we see Roman, he's going up against the new Bloodline, pretty much. He's going up against the new Bloodline by himself. So he needs help. Who's the help? Cody Rhodes, which is why Kevin Owens is crashing the fuck out and has a reason to crash the fuck out. Bad blood happens. Cody and Roman team up, beat the new Bloodline. Roman pins Solo, 1, 2, 3, in the middle of the ring. The Rock comes out. The Rock comes out? What the fuck is going on? Which turns into what we have today, which is Jimmy comes back at Bad Blood and helps Roman and Cody to beat the new Bloodline. But then they now need some help. Now Jimmy's in this, and Roman can now trust his family. He can't really go back on Cody Rhodes, helping Cody Rhodes again. Jimmy's like, "Yo, I can get somebody to help us." And that's Jey Uso. Jey's his own man. Jey don't need this shit. Jey, at this time, Jey was the Intercontinental Champion. What the fuck do I need to tell you motherfuckers? I'm successful. I'm good. I don't need you niggas. But new Bloodline comes out, screws him. Screws him of his title. Cool. Well, Jacob's really screwed him of his title. I don't even say the new Bloodline, but Jacob screwed him of his title. Which forces him to now join the Bloodline, the OG Bloodline. They go into Crown Jewel, fight them again. Fight the new Bloodline. Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Solo versus Roman, Jimmy, and Jake. The OG Bloodline versus the new Bloodline. Sammy comes out after the match because Solo pins Roman. Sammy now joins the OG Bloodline. She get interested even more. All of this leads to this past Saturday at War Games. CM Punk helps because of his best friend. Just so happens to be the wise man of Roman Reigns, Paul Heyman. That favor that he asked for has just got granted. Paul Heyman, right? Just asked Paul, he asked CM Punk for a favor. CM Punk said, "Okay, favor for a favor. Cool. I would do this." I have said this. Friday night, we're going to see Solo and Roman agree to have a match for the Ulafala at Saturday night main event. Roman's going to beat Solo. And that's when The Rock is going to come back. This storyline is always crazy. It's always nuts. It's always over the top. It's always out of nowhere. But this shit is good. And it's starting to fucking heat up. Now you got to actually watch Friday Night SmackDowns. Again. Thank the Lord. I watch it regardless, but now you're starting to watch it again. That's a good thing. This storyline is dope. And this saga is always going to be crazy until, like I said, until Roman and The Rock actually fight. I don't know when they're going to fight. I don't know if it's going to happen at WrestleMania. It needs to happen at WrestleMania. God Almighty, please have it at WrestleMania. It needs to happen and get it out the way. But I want to see how this is going to look. But at number one, it's Cody Rhodes. I had to do it. Cody is finishing his story. Now, yes, his title run has not been. The story hasn't been there. But the matches have. I think people get that confused. The only match I did not like from the Cody Rhodes thing is SummerSlam. Him and Solo. That shit was boring. But they figured it out when they had the steel cage match. That was a way better match. But yeah. All in all, Cody finishing the story, especially how it had to go down, The Rock coming back, trying to take his WrestleMania moment, him winning the Royal Rumble for the first, being the first back-to-back Royal Rumble winner in, what, 20-something years? This shit is crazy. And then The Rock comes back, trying to steal his fucking moment. And then it all culminates at him fighting The Rock and Roman with Seth Rollins. Set literally tearing his entire knee. Like, bruh, this shit was so nuts. Just for it to end up being one of the greatest WrestleMania matches. Possibly to a lot of people. It was one of the greatest WrestleMania matches. The ending itself was fucking phenomenal. Again, itself. Since then, is Cody's reign great? No. But this storyline with him and Kevin Owens. It's fucking amazing. And it's actually turning Cody heel. Which I wanted, he's actually becoming heel. Like I said, Kevin Owens has a reason to have a problem with Cody Rhodes. It's a perfectly fine fucking reason. Bro, I've been fighting these motherfuckers for 4 fucking years. I helped you get your title. And yet, you still found a way to try to be the good guy and join fucking Roman. Why? All of this shit's your fault. All of this shit is your fault. He finally has a story that doesn't have to do with the bloodline. Which, it does have to do with the bloodline, but at least it's not the bloodline, actually. Cody finally finishing his story is always going to be the greatest thing. And the fact that this was never supposed to be the plan, he was not even supposed to be on WrestleMania. Do you actually understand that? He was never supposed to be on WrestleMania. When The Rock came back, they had nothing scheduled for him. He wasn't even supposed to be on WrestleMania. The fact that he got two main events back-to-back nights and fucking did it. That alone is why he's number one. Come on, man. That is crazy. I watched that whole thing and I'm like, man, The Rock fucked up for that. Fucked up for that. I'm happy he finished the story. Now, what happens at this upcoming WrestleMania? I don't know. Because here's the thing. For the first time in a minute, I don't know the direction of Cody Rhodes. He could fight Randy Orton at WrestleMania. He can fight CM Punk at WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised. It might be a triple threat match. Fuck it. It might be a fatal five-way. We don't fucking know. It could be a fatal five-way. It could be CM Punk, Roman Reigns, The Rock, and Randy Orton. It could be all five. It could fucking be that. It could be, because all of them have a storyline entangled with each other, which is the fucking craziest thing. Randy Orton has a storyline entangled with Cody and Roman. CM Punk has a storyline entangled with Cody, the WWE Championship, this favorite Paul Heyman owes him, and now Roman Reigns, and also he doesn't fuck with The Rock. The Rock wants the title, but he also wants to be Tribal Chief. This all this shit could be coexisting at maybe if you add John Cena. I don't think you need to add John Cena, but it could be a fatal five way. We don't even know. Like it could actually be a fatal five way, which sounds fucking nuts. But this is gonna be interesting. That is it. That is it. That was on my top 10 moments of wrestling this year. My top 10 moments, stories of 2024. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I will be back doing my top 10 wrestlers. I've already finished that list. I got to finish my wrestling matches, but that'll be back next week. Until next time, I am Brandon Janu. It's been the Brandon Janu Show. Peace.